Parshas Matos. We're up to Pasuk V'isha, Pasuk Dalet. Okay, we're up to Pasuk Dalet, the Parshas Matos, V'isha, Ki Sidor Neder LaHashem. If an Isha, if she takes a vow to Hashem, V'osra Yisra B'vei Savia, and this woman, she takes a vow to Hashem, and she brings upon herself a prohibition, B'vei Savia B'nureha, while she is in her father's home. Okay, let's see the Rashi in Pasuk Dalet. B'vei Savia, B'rishu Savia. V'afila eina b'beisai. Rashi here tells us when it says b'beisai, don't be misled to believe that it means physically in his home. It means in his, under her jurisdiction. Bereshus avia. Even if it's not, how did Rashi know that? What got Rashi going over here to say that? I'm not sure. Let's see. Binureha. Okay, while she's in Naira. V'loi ketana. V'loi bageres. Shaketana ein nidra neder, a girl who is under the age of 12 years old, is meaningless. V'habageres, a woman who is 12 years and 6 months, eina b'reshusoi shalavia lohafer nidrecha, she is no longer under his jurisdiction. He has no power to annul her vows. So it's a v'ezna v'ezo hi ketana. What is a ketana? Amra b'seinu bas yud alef shana v'yemechad. That until 11 years and one day, nidoreha nivdak, bas yud alef shana v'yemech, when a girl reaches the age of 11 years and one day, she's in her 12th year, then nidoreha nivdak, and if she takes a vow, she's brought to a psychologist, and the psychologist questions her to determine if she really understands what she has done. Im yada'o l'shemi nodra. Does she really understand to whom she took a vow? Or l'shemi hikdisha, and to determine if she understands in honor of who, l'shemi hikdisha, did she sanctify something? Okay, so there are two things over here going on in Rashi. She has to know l'shem mi nadra, or l'shem mi hikdisha, because over here, Rashi, what he was telling us over here is that there are two different elements, two different types of nedarim. There's a nedar where a person takes a vow that he will do something or will not do something, or if a person sanctifies something. You have in your possession property, and you declare that this piece of property should be this possession should be the property of the Beis HaMikdash. That's a different type of vow, but Rashi, for whatever reason, is grouping them together, a woman or a man, again, prohibits upon himself either not to eat something or obligates himself to do something or takes property that he owns and sanctifies it, makes it the property of the Beis HaMikdash. If this young woman who is 11 years old in one day, if she understands l'shem mi nodra, that when she takes a vow for whom, meaning that the consequences are a violation of Hashem's rotzayin, okay, there's an idea of l'shem mi nodra, in honor of who. It's a vague term. What does Rashi mean by that? I don't know exactly, but it basically means she has full understanding of what she's doing, and she understands l'shem mi hikdisha. She understands that when she, that's easier, that when she has property and she sanctifies it, it goes to Hashem. Then nidra neder, the vow is standing. But let's say she does not; it's not. However, bas yud beis shana v'yemechad eina tsricha libadek, does not need to be evaluated. So Rashi starts off by telling us that those of a ketana, by the laws of Nedarim, are not the same definition as ketana when it comes to other halachas. We know that a woman, a girl, is not obligated to be mekayim the mitzvahs until she's 12 years and one day. When she's 11 years and one day, no matter how mature she appears to be, it does not make a difference. She has no obligation to fulfill the mitzvahs. She's a ketana. When she reaches the age of 11 years, and when she reaches the age of 12 years in one day, then she's mitzuveh v'yosef, for all of the mitzvahs which noshim are chayivin, which includes every single one of the loisaseis, 365 loisaseis, quite a big avoida. A girl on her, the day that she becomes bas mitzvah, can you imagine? She's no easy job. She becomes obligated in 365 loisaseis, and is obligated to observe from the 248 mitzvahs I say only those that are not dependent upon zaman. That is when she's 12 years and one day, and when she's under the age of 11 years, completely exempt. When it comes to mitzvahs, sorry, I'm getting confused. When it comes to mitzvahs, the day before, 12 years and one day, nothing, zero. When it comes to nedarim, there's an intermediary state. It's called peutos. I think that's the term, peutos. When she's developing, there's a whole year, the year before she becomes bas mitzvah, if she takes a vow, she is sent to the psychologist for an evaluation. If she comprehends what she has done, she is obligated to be true to that vow. No, nothing else. I don't think there's any other halacha anywhere in the whole Torah where a woman under the age of bas mitzvah has a full-fledged obligation. And then when it comes, once she becomes, then there's another point of time, which is also very unique. When she reaches 12 years and one day, until she's 12 years and 6 months, then her father can still annul her vow. She is called a naira. Okay, we'll review in a moment. But once she becomes 12 years and one day and she takes the vow is binding and there's nothing that can be done. Okay, so let's review over here what Rashi has taught us. Rashi says here the word binoreho. The word binoreho is an intermediary state. She is 12 years old. At that point in time, between the age of exactly 12 years and one day and 12 years and 6 months, she's called a naira. And a naira, if she takes a vow, it is immediately binding. There is no investigation that needs to be made. There is no evaluation. During these 6 months, her father has the power to annul the vow if he's not satisfied. Before she is 12 years and one day, for an entire year, the vow is not binding unless a professional tells us that she fully comprehends what she has done. If she does, then the vow is binding, and her father has the ability to annul the vow during that year as well. So the period of time that the father has to annul his daughter's vow at most is 1 year and 6 months. Okay, that's a very interesting thing. Yes.
Why are we saying Nibdokin is a psychological test? Maybe it's a physical test.
You're saying something
but they
very...
have puppy boys.
Okay, so Rashi makes it very clear that it's not a physical test. Look at Rashi. Rashi says im yod'a. Rashi does not just say the word nivdokim. It says im yod'a, if she understands, it's in the mind, l'shei mi nodra, u l'shei mi hikdisha, or if she sanctified property, she knows to whom she sanctified it to, then nidra neder. So Rashi makes it very clear that it's a psychological test. This is not a physical test. Doesn't matter. She can be 100% no simonim, no Cyrus. This is an age when the mind already develops partially. And at this point in time, if she takes it out, she's going to be obligated. It turns out now that it's 18 months, the maximum period of time that a father has power over his daughter, unusual power, not talking, we're talking unusual power, is 18 months. 18 months. Is there any significance in 18 months? A year and a half. I don't know. What is the significance of 18 months? This is the maximum amount of time that a father has power to understand what his daughter has done and to make a decision. And his decision, without a Beis Din, it's just up to him. It's his prerogative. Nothing. There's no rules. There's no rhyme. There's no reason. It's purely a matter of opinion, politics. It's just whatever he wants to do. If he wants the vow to stand, the vow stands. If he doesn't want the vow to stand, it does not. And it does not make a difference what his agenda is, what his reason. Maybe it's a political reason. Maybe the father himself has some psychological issues. And he, for whatever reason, wants the vow to be annulled or not be annulled. a max of 18 months when she's 12 years old. And one day, if she takes the vow, she understands what she has done. The vow is binding. And certainly if she is, I'm sorry, if she's 11 years old in one day, the vow is binding. And certainly if she understands what she has done, and when she's 12 years old in one day, then the vow is automatically binding. No matter, we don't make any inspections. We automatically assume she knew what she did, and that's it, the vow is binding. There's an easy way out if the father makes a decision that he's not interested for whatever reason whatsoever. Once she reaches the age of 12 years and 6 months, she is no longer called a Naira. She is called a Bageres. Now, the vow is binding and the father can no longer save her. She's on her own. It's too bad for her. If she wants the vow annulled, it's a very complex process. She has to go to the Chochom, a Yachid Mumche, or to a Bezdin. And the Bezdin doesn't, Yilonim Sechda Nedarim, they don't let you off the hook so easily. They have to find a Pesach Charata. They have to find a good reason to annul. It's a very complicated process to have a vow annulled or cancelled after a period, when it's done by an adult. Okay, so that concludes Rashi. Let's see over here the Targum. Targum over here, Pasuk Dalet, says, the Itissa. Itissa is a woman. Arei sidar nidar kodom Hashem. Itissa. She takes a vow, kodom Hashem. Okay, we discussed this yesterday. Kodom Hashem, fine. Kodom Hashem. We discussed this yesterday a little bit. What it means, kodom Hashem. That's a very powerful word. The way the Targum translates the word na'ara is birav yusoho. Rav yuhosa comes from the word rav. Rav means abundance. This is not such a simple word. What does the Targum here mean with the word of Berav Yusoho? Okay, we have over here an entry in the art school over here. I didn't read it. He doesn't say anything. He just talks about the basic halacha. Yeah, he just giving you a summary. I told you. You didn't see nothing over here. But over here in this sefer, he does talk a little bit about this unusual word, and he says over here that the word gidul, berav yusah, how do you know this? Vayigdal hayeled. It says this word, vayigdal. We always have to look. When you have a word in Targum, this is the technique. This is a brilliant technique. Everyone does this, but the Ma'atzari, this sefer that I use, this sefer is probably one of the best sefer that was ever written in Targum. It's called Ma'atzari. It's went through many editions. The person spent his whole life, it seems like he spent his whole life on this. He died. He passed away. It says in the introduction to this book that he died before he got to see the book that I'm holding in my hands. What I'm seeing in my hands was the latest edition with additions and corrections and more chidushim, and it was ready for print and he passed away. He never got to see this edition. And here he writes, Barab Yusuf, this is technique. You got to study where else the Targum uses that word. And then look at the Hebrew word that the Targum was translating. And then take that Hebrew word and apply it here where we're confused. So here it says the word na'ara. Na'ara? What is a na'ara? I don't know. A na'ara, a young lady. So the Targum says, oh, I'll tell you what a na'ara is. A na'ara is Berav Yusoho. That's what a Naira is. Okay? Berav Yusa. Berav Yusa. Okay, what does that mean? I have no clue. Well, let's do a computer search and see where else the Targum used that word as a translation. And lo and behold, it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayigdal Hayeled. Vayigdal Hayeled. What does it say? One moment. It says the word in Shemayitz Vayigdal Hayelet by Moshe Rabbeinu Vayetze El Echov Beis Yud. I'll just go look it up very quickly. Perek Beis Pasik Yud. Okay. Perig Bays, Pasik Vayigdal Hayeled, Vativieyu Levas Paro. The Yeled. So it's very interesting to see the context of what this means. Who took the baby after he was born? His mother. Bas Paroi saved his life. Bas Paroi then tried to nurse him. It didn't go. So she realized it was a Jewish child, so maybe he will have a more affinity to a Jewish nurse. Indeed, that was correct. And who did they call? They called Yocheved, who happened to be his mother. Look at that. And Yocheved nursed him. So Yocheved had possession of Moshe Rabbeinu for a period of time. Vayigdal hayeled. Moshe Rabbeinu, he grew up. He was weaned from his mother. He no longer needs his mother. So Bas Paro says to Yocheved, hand him over. Hand him over. I saved his life. I gave him to you too, nurse. You've done your job. Give him back to me. Vayigdal hayeled. The yeled developed. Vativieyu levas paro. What's the translation of the word vayigdal? Targum pasuk yud. Urivo rovyo. It's the same word. The same sherish. He grew up. So therefore, what do we learn from this? Narus is the 6 months of a young girl's life where she grows up. She goes through growth spurts. Teenagers are very complicated people. Okay, they grow, there are certain periods of time when they go through a growth spurt. Not just physically. Ever you see these teenagers, one day they're pipsqueaks, and the next day you turn around, it's like they're playing a game with you. You turn around, you close your eyes, you open up your eyes, they grew 6 feet. How did that happen? I just saw you 5 minutes ago, you're a little pipsqueak, and all of a sudden you're taller than me, you're all the way up there in the sky. How did that happen overnight? That's the way Hashem made people. There are growth spurts. Just like there are growth spurts in the physical body, in ruchnius, in the mind, in maturity, in hashkafa, in having an epiphany. Was that the right word? Sometimes you have an epiphany. You have multiple epiphanies. Children, they at that age, they have epiphanies. They find their place in life. They discover themselves. They discover what the whole world is all about. Until now, they're busy playing with their little toys. And then they realize, you know, I got to get moving here. I got to shape up. I got to worry about Shaduchim. I got to worry about Parnasa. I got to worry about what life is all about. There are growth spurts. Chazal say that the mind goes through a growth spurt when? During these 6 months. When a young lady is 12 years old, to the point of 12 years and 6 months, she's going through a growth spurt. How do you know that? Who says? I'm making up things, right? Nara. Nara means it's just a boring, dry point of time in your life. Well, guess what? The Targum did us a very big favor, because he says over here, Nara. What does it mean, Nara? Pasuk Dalet. He gave us this very interesting word called Rav Yusa. And Rav Yusa is used in the Pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayigdal Hayeled. He grew up. It was a tekuf of growing. Now we can appreciate why Hashem allowed a father to annul the vow of his daughter during this period of time. She's not stable. Okay, we discussed this morning about the Crusades. We discussed this about Girush Sefarat, about the Spanish expulsion. Goyim are never stable. Jews also have an instant, moments of unstableness. When a child, when this girl is now in the matzav of a Yigdal Hayeled, she's going from 12 years to 12 years and 6 months. She's growing through a growth spurt. She's discovering things about her life, herself. She's not in a responsible frame of mind that she can commit herself to eat, not eat, to do, not do, dedicate, not dedicate, during this period of time. And therefore the Torah, in its great kindness, allowed the father to oversee this growth spurt and to give her room to breathe and to make decisions which may be in fact binding and have major consequences, but yet her father is her safety net to annul the vow without any complications. You don't have to go to court and shell out thousands of dollars of hulu. You don't have to go play all these games. The father, just like that. But yet, she does have a degree of independence where she can at least experiment and take vows. But due to her instability, I'm not saying the right word, due to her state of mind that is not stable, she has the safety net of her father that can protect her. Because she's now going through growth. Yigdal hayalad. Okay, it's not just boring. Okay, when you're at this age, gzeres hakasef, choyk v'lo yaver. There's no logic, there's no run, there's no reason, it's just a law. No, Torah here is incredible. It's giving us insight into human psychology. When people are not stable, don't make decisions. I remember when I was sitting shiva for my mother, so someone said to me that whatever you do during this time, don't make any decisions. It's not a time when the person is an ovel, you're not stable. And if you're not stable, don't make decisions. You just have to, during the time of avelus, just coast. Just coast, lock up everything you got, all openings to make major decisions in life. About money, about shidduchim, about this, about that. No, you don't do that now. Because you're not stable. You've gone through trauma. The mind is not stable. You're not in a position to make decisions. Don't make decisions. Wait. That's exactly what's happening by this young girl. She's going through a growth spurt. She's discovering that she exists. She really exists in this world. And now you don't make a decision. We let you make a decision, but you have a safety net of your father. No. How do you know all this whole drasha? This whole drush I just told you comes from one word of the Targum, based upon the Ma'atzari, who tells us something I would never in a million years figure out, that the word Naira comes from the word Rav Yusa. I wouldn't even know what that word means altogether. And that's the translation of the word Naira. And this the Ma'atzari says, you really won't know what that word means? Go look at Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayigdal HaYeled. He had a growth spurt. Now go back to Naira. Now you understand what the word Naira really means. It's a tekufa. Okay.
This also for Shavua or just for Neder?
Everything, both. A Shavua, a Neder, Hektish. They're really three things. So it's Isser. You know, you're saying good. This is way over my head. There are a lot of things that apply here. They're different terms. What's the difference in a Neder, and a Shavua? We discussed yesterday. Neder, one is a Gavr, it's a Chefza. Okay, Hektish, what's Hektish? Rashi here says Beferish Hektish as well. You Maktish something. You sanctify something. It's the same exact rules. All right, let's go further. Let's now move ahead in the Targum. We're done. Pasuk Hey. We're now up to Pasuk Hey. Vishama Avio Es Nidro. The Tata gets, he hears what happened. Or, after the word or Ve'esoro Asher Osro Al Nafsha. Or he hears about the prohibition, which I'm assuming means here the Shavua. When a person makes a Shavua, he's bringing upon himself a prohibition. Al Nafsha, that she brought upon her Neshama. The Hecherish Lavia. And the father makes a decision. He's silent. Silence is golden. Not in this case. The father is quiet. Oh, if he's quiet, Shtika Kehoida. It's a very scary principle. I know everything that people I talk to, I got to think about it. How you can't think so long. Okay, you can't think so long. You gotta act eventually, right? You can't think so long because if we have the father's quiet for 24 hours, we let him think for 24 hours, and the default is yes. In shidduchim, the default is no. Someone reads you a shidduch and they tell you a name. Get back to me. And let's say you don't get back to them. So what is it? It's self understood. No, right? Here, it says in the Torah that if you don't get back to them, it's self-understood. Yes! Mamish, kum fakert. Das, Torah, have daf balabayis, hepuch midas Torah. The hecherish lavia, then the kamakol nidodeha. All of the vows go into effect. The holy sar, asher asra nafsha yokum, they shall be established. Let's see the Rashi pasuk hey. Guess what? There is no Rashi. Let's see over the Targum. Targum the Yishma Avuha Yos Nadro. The Tata, he hears her vow. The Sora di Osras al Nafsha, the Yishtoik. That's a great word. The Hecherish means he's silent. Shtika. La Avuha Vikumun Kol Nidroha. All words here are pretty straightforward. V'chol Esorei. That's a problem. That word is a problem. Why is that word a problem? It's underlined here in the art scroll because that word is Beloshon Rabin. The Pasuk says V'chol Isor. Why then does the Targum say V'chol Esorei? All of her multiple vows, let's see. Di Osras Al Nafsha Yikumun. Okay, now there is no Rashi. And here, in the art scroll, unfortunately, there are no notes, but in the Ma'atzori, we have some commentary. Okay, I just want to focus, I'm not going to dwell too much, I skip like 95% of what it says here, only try to pick on certain things. But here he points out something very interesting, that it's a Blushing Rabbin. Okay, that's the only thing he picks up on over here. Holy, sorry, he doesn't. I really wanted to focus also on the word, that other word of yishtoik. Because a cheresh, the word yishtoik, there are many different words that mean silence. Esther Hamalka, Mordechai said to Esther, hachareish tachareishi bo esazois, revach viatzala yamor lahudim yamakamacha viatavisadichotavedu. If you're going to be hacharesh tacharishun, you're going to be silent. If you're not going to seize the moment. In that pasuk there by Esther Hamalka, the word hacharesh tacharishi has a very different connotation. It doesn't just mean quiet, be quiet. It means there much more means if you don't take advantage of the situation. That's the context. V'im hacharesh tacharishi bo es hazois. Right now, Klal Yisrael is in eighth tsara. You are in position. You, there is no one that has it, that can go walk into the palace, into the king, and speak to him, persuade him. You are in position. You have an opportunity. If you fail to take advantage of this opportunity, you're toast. Then Hashem will do what he wants without you. It's for your benefit. So here, in this instance, it's interesting that it's very similar. The father here hears what is doing. It's really the same exact thing in this situation. Time is of the essence. The gezeirah is ticking down. It's a ticking bomb. Every second that goes by, it gets more and more dangerous. And by the way, before I go further, can you hear me well? So I'm curious. Can you hear me what I'm saying? It's clear? It's loud? Okay. Just want to make sure. Okay, now,
yeah, I just wanted to say, excuse me, one yeah. second. It doesn't say, you know, the Yonas of Benuziel doesn't say Rav Rusa. It says Atrei Sashinin. He doesn't.
Ah, very good.
Right, he gives an age.
Exactly. Okay, that would be another whole shiur. If we would have to compare all three together, the Targum, Ungulus, and Yonas of Benuziel with Rashi, we would be a forever. And there are, in fact, I believe many more svarim on the Targum, Yonis, and Benuziel than there are on Unkelus. Unkelus, there are svarim, but Unkelus, I don't know, there's not that much. Targum, Yonis, and Benuziel, oh, because he has what to say. He gets himself into a lot of trouble. So but so we're living over here much more dry, just the
Enechanami. He goes far.
Yeah.
Bed.
There are really three Targumim. There are three major. There's Unkelus, Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, and Targum Yerushalmi. And Targum Yerushalmi, we don't have all of. We have bits and pieces. A little here, a little there. We're missing a major chunk. Supposedly, Rabbi Kasher, Mendel Kasher, who wrote the Torah Shlema, he got a hold from the Vatican of the entire Targum Yerushalmi about 50 years ago, maybe even more. And for some reason, not everyone wants to accept it. I don't know why. Right, Rabbi Shulman here in this right now in the shul, Rabbi Shulman shul. He told me he knows all about this. He has a lot of things to say about this stuff. All about the Targum Yerushalmi, and he told me that it's not 100% certain that what he has is accurate. I don't really know. If you look in the Mikrois Gedolos, they only print snippets, a little piece here, a little piece there. They don't have it in our editions of the Mikrois Gedolos, the Targum Yerushalmi in its entirety. But it seems that we do have it. We've extracted it from the Vatican in its entirety. Why have the publishers held back from printing it? I do not know. That's another topic. But in any event, going back over here to the Targum. In this over here, he says, "Machresh tachlish shibois hazoyz lech v'hatzala." Esther, you have an opportunity. The opportunity is going to pass. You only have this opportunity for a very short moment on because there's a gzera. And if you don't do something about it now, we're going to have to get someone else to do something about it. The father here hears that his daughter made a neder. The father has 24 hours. The clock is ticking. Tata, if you don't do something about it now, that's it, you're done. It's going to automatically go into effect. It already is in effect. The point over here is to cancel it. So you have a window of opportunity. That's how the word hacharish tacharish is used in Megillas Esther. And that's exactly the way it's used here by the father. Macharish, the father is going to be son. He's not going to take advantage of a window of opportunity. It's interesting that the Targum translates with yishtoik. Because the word yishtoik doesn't really add much flavor to elaborate on exactly this whole idea of this window of opportunity. Just a very, very, very dry translation. All right, fine. But the other thing which I want to say a little bit of a Jewish on is Isar. Isar is, it says here that what's going to happen, the Pasuk says, V'kamu kol nidoreha, her vows, V'chol Isar, and any prohibition. Now, the word nidoreha, the grammar, we don't really pay attention to grammar. Kol all nidoreha, that's Beloshon Rabin. There's a yud there. It doesn't say kol nidro. There is an inconsistency here in the pasuk. We don't pay attention to this. It doesn't say kol nidro v'chol isor. It says kol nidoreha, which is Beloshon Rabin, v'chol isor. And every when the word kol expands the scope of a single vow to multiple vows. It would have done it anyway. If it would have said kol nidra, it would have been fine. It would have been all of kol nidra, all of her vows. But the pasuk went out of its way to say kol nidoreha. They're both correct, if I'm not mistaken. But when it comes to isor, it doesn't do that. It does say v'chol isoreha with a yud, isoreh with a segel underneath the resh. Just as v'chol isor is singular. Yet the targum seemingly is coming to the rescue in pasuk hey, and he says v'chol asoreh, which is b'loshon rabin. Why did the targum do that? That is a very curious diuk in the Targum. And he picks up upon this. And he doesn't really explain. He just points it out over here. And he goes into more grammar. What I want to suggest to you is, where there's smoke, there's fire. I'm telling you as a Jewish, and I believe this is very true. I believe this is very true in the world, by people. Dealing with people, we have to go back to what we learned yesterday in Masechta Nedarim. In Masechta Nedarim, what is the difference between an Isur, between a Neder and a Shavua? And we explained from the Ran, okay, the Ran was many hundreds of years before Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, And the Ran says, Mamish, Mamish, Pemole. Not Mamish, but as close you can possibly get, that a neder is an Isser Cheftza. And a Shavua is an Isser Gavra. Meaning, if you make a neder, I'm not going to eat the piece of bread. The bread is an object that is chazer. That's nothing to do with you. A neder creates an invisible prohibition upon the object. This object is now turned into chazer. If you take a shavua, I swear I'm not going to eat that piece of bread. There's nothing wrong with that bread. That bread is delicious, it's fine, it's perfect. You have a problem. The chalois iser is upon you. Now you'll ask me for nafkaminas, I don't know, there are a lot of nafkaminas, not for now. Okay, that's the sugim sach nadarim. But let's just work with that yisod for right now. A neder is the chefza, a shua is the gavra. Now, when a woman comes to her father and says to her father, Father, I took a neder. I took him that this piece of chocolate is forbidden to me with a neder. It's like poison. So the father says, okay, I'll deal with it. I'll make a decision within 24 hours if I want you to be permitted to eat the chocolate. Is there anything else in this home that you have created an Isser Gavra? Let's go through the refrigerator. And let's pull out every single object in the refrigerator and see what's doing over there. We can analyze it. You don't have to be chayish, assume there's any other object in this home that you have put a chalois iser neder upon. But when a woman says to her father, Father, I took a shavua and I'm not going to eat chocolate. So the problem is with me. Where there's smoke, there's fire. The same way she took a shavua not to eat chocolate, she probably took a shavua not to eat potatoes. And not to do this, and not to do that, because it's her, it's the person. And when the person has a problem, and the person has acted out, and accepted upon himself one mishigas, guess what? There's probably a lot of mishigasim going on in that person's mind. So the pasuk, the targum over here is saying something very brilliant in Mudaik in the words of the pasuk. He's saying is that when it comes to a neder, and she tells her father made a neder, okay, what else? Tell me all of you nadar. Let's look at all the objects. It can be defined. When it comes to a shavua, the father has to realize, if there's one shavua, who knows what else is there? So The Targum is really doing the opposite of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'komu kol nidoreha b'lashon rabim v'chol isor. And every, the nidoreha is b'lashon rabim, and isor is b'lashon yachid. The Targum, what does the Targum say? Listen to the Targum again over here. The Targum says, V'kumun kol nidraha, plural, the chol asorei, b'loshon rabim, the asaras al nafsho yikumun, is when it comes to the isor, there's the obvious iser that's exposed, but the targum is giving instructions to the father that you should know it's not just one thing. There are many, many more things out there. Many more shavuos that you don't know about. And the Torah is telling the father, you got a problem here, and you better deal with it now. Because if you don't deal with it now, all of these shavuos are going to come to haunt you many years later. When it comes to the nidorim, only deal with what's in front of your eyes. She tells you ABC, that's the only problem she got. She tells you this is also, that's also, that's also, it's a chefza. Chocolate is poison, people are poison, and that's poison. So whatever she specifies, that's right, the kamakol nidoreha, whatever she deals with, what you see is what you get. But when she says to you, v'chol isar, I got one problem, the Targum says to you, father, you should be aware, she may claim she has one problem. There are a lot of problems. Because when the neder affects the person, the chalois, the person, and there's a problem with the person, there are other things lurking in the background that have to be addressed and cannot be ignored. Oops. Okay. Now, let's go further. Okay, let's go a few more minutes. Let's go further. Pasik Vav. Pasik Vav says, wait, did I finish the Tariq? Okay. Pasik Vav. Let's try this a little more. Pasik Vav says, let's say the father annuls the vow. On the day, so here we're giving him 24 hours.
Then call. Oh, it's till the sun goes down on that day.
Oh, that's the whole shaila. That's the big machlokes in the Gemara. There are three opinions in the Gemara. There are different opinions in the Gemara. Does it mean till the end of the day? Does it mean 24 hours to the dot?
End of the day,
fine, okay. So, right, until the end of the Mehni of Yom Shemai.
Not 24 hours, it's the day of the Shemai. The day, until
the sun sets. You have until Shkia Sachama, B'yoyim on that calendar day, B'yoyim Shemai, then call Nidurecha V'yasarecha Asher Asher Nafsha, Lo Yokum, he has annulled it. V'yashem Yislach Lo, and this is the famous var, she needs slicha, even though the father annulled it, but at the time when she did that, if she was in violation of her vow, even though now retroactively the father has annulled it, she still needs kapar, because at the time when she violated the vow, it was upon her. V'ashem yislach la, ki heini avi oisada. Those words don't really fit to the pasuk. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, pasuk vav, zim heini avi oisada, imona oisada min haneder. Rashi here says a very powerful translation. The word mona means he withholds her. It almost sounds like he's standing there with a baseball bat and telling her, if you made a neder that you're going to eat a piece of chocolate, I'm not letting you. I'm not letting you eat it. I'm going to, he's holding her back. He's like, it almost sounds like he's physically holding her back. That's how Rashi translates the word heini, to hold you back from fulfilling your vow. Min haneder kiloimar, and Rashi says, we all know the rule. Whenever Rashi says the word kiloimar, it means come to a full stop. Rashi is saying that the pasuk is not to be translated literally. There is no literal translation. This is a conceptual idea which you have to add many layers of explanation in order to extract what the pasuk means to say, but in no way, shape, or form shall you take the words literally. The most powerful word that Rashi has at his in his arsenal is the word kolaymar. Okay, and if he says kolaymar, that's a major stop sign. Kolaymar shehefer law, because Rashi is coming to explain the word heini really doesn't fit. The word heini is not the right word. If this was a class in Hebrew literature, Rashi, the Torah would not get an A. The author of the Bible would not get an A for the course. Because the word heini is not the correct word that we would expect from the context of what's taking place here. Heini literally means to withhold, and there's no physical withholding. The way the father withholds her is by annulling the vow. Kiloimar, shehefer lo. Hanoha zu, ein yodeh mahi. Now Rashi goes on to say the word hanoha. The word hano is the shoresh of the word heini. I really don't know what it means. Keshu oimer, vim biyom shemoya isho. That's by the husband. Isho with a mapike means her husband. Yoni oisa vehefer. He annuls the vow and he vehefer. There are two words there in that pasuk. There's yoni, which is the same shoresh as the word hano, pleasure, and vehefer. Hevi oimer, hano zo hafara. Dovar halamed mei inyonai. One of the yud gimel midrash haTorah nidreshes. When you do not know what something means, then you have a right to look at the context. And since in this pasuk it says two words together, yoni, together with the word hefer. Hefer, we know what the word means. We know what that word means. That word means to annul. We have the right to assume that the word heini also means to annul. And what's this repetition? What's the purpose of the repetition? I don't know. That's another topic. But the literal translation means to withhold. Why do you hold back? This lahalon perik lamed beis. Let's go there. Lamed beis pasuk zayin. Lamed beis pasuk zayin. Lamasinyun. It's no. Here this parasha. That when the b'nei Gad b'nei Reuven. B'nei Gad b'nei Reuven, when they did not want to enter into Eretz, so they wanted to take the portion be'ever hayarden. So Moshe chastises b'nei Gad b'nei Reuven. If you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to dishearten the other 10 Shvatim. V'lama sinyun eslev b'nei Yisrael. Why? So literally, what does it mean in that context? You're going to withhold your brethren from going into Eretz Yisrael. When they're going to see that you're cool, you have no chavivos for the land, they're also going to lack chavivos for the land. So you see that word, this word of hanoya, is exactly the same word that is used by B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven, who did not want to go into Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to remain in Be'er HaYarden because there are a lot of mikneh, and Moshe complained, by doing so, you're going to withhold your brethren. V'chein shemen roish al yoni roishi, do not withhold from my head. V'chein vidatem es tenu osi, you know my withholding. Eis asher samten, eis asher sartem me'olai, tenu osi, it also means to withhold. So Rashi, you're telling us over here, telling us that this word means two things. Mitzad echad, we know the word is related to withholding. And here, it doesn't really make any sense. What do you mean withhold? His daughter, she makes a neder, and the father withholds her. How could the father withhold her? She already made the neder. He has to do something that is external by coming along and being mefer the neder. And by being mefer the neder, that is how he withholds. It's not direct. And that's why Rashi is koloimar. The word heini really does not relate directly to what is taking place over here. The father is coming to annul. When the father does the annulment, memela, she is withheld. She is withheld. So the word, but the father is not withholding her. He has to do something to withhold. He's not physically withholding her. What does he do to withhold her? By doing an annulment. So that's why it's a balance between a literal word which doesn't really fit and the principle, the concept, which means hafara. So that's why Rashi says it literally means to withhold, but it means the concept means hafara. That's the truth of the Rashi. We'll stop the Rashi if it says Vashem Yisachla. Okay, it's going to take too long. It's really 8:04. We have to do this tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop over here. Thank you for joining me, Mr. Shem, tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday. We know that. Okay, be well.
Have a good night. Thanks.
Night.
By the way, American
Elf
says as long as she's not married, she's been around. That's what it means here.
No one says that, though. The Gemara
doesn't matter. I'm telling you what he says. It's what she, until she's married, because then what happens if she's engaged and now this machlokes is who has the right to annul her vow. She's still under her father living here, but her husband is engaged to her. So they both have a right to annul her vow.
Okay, that's a very big chiddush because the parsha of the Gemara is only six months.
By Garris,
yeah. Okay.
Why Binurel de Sevilla? Then it means until she got married, if she's 16. Because what the big problem is, how come it doesn't talk about a Zohar?
Right.
Why is it only about the Kaver, right?
Correct. Well, that's a big question.
It's a boy's responsible for if he's less than 13. Doesn't matter what he said. It's no vow.
No, it's the same thing. The same. But the same thing. You have a year. You examine a boy when he's 12 years and one day until he's 13 years old. You have the same principle.
Right.
Putus. But you're right. There's no such thing that the father can annul the vow of a boy from 12 years old for a year and a half. No such thing, only by a girl.
Right. Once he's bar mitzvah, he's a man. He's responsible for everything.
Everything he does, and when
Yeah, but he said for a girl, it's not like she. As long as a father has a right to annul her vow, even as when she's an adult. I mean, That's his shit. He mentions that other people say this. I say this.
Wow. Okay, I hear. It's logical what he's saying, but it is a chiddush.